This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
As I understand it, the Gaelic League of America, Gaelic League?
The Gaelic League, sir, yeah.
Is a 15,000 person organization of Americans of Irish descent.
That is correct, yes.
And you, sir, Mr. Bazell, you're of Irish descent?
On my mother's side, yes. And we sent a formal letter on to President Bush, and in it we expressed our support for his actions in Iraq and our continued support for him in our war against terrorism.
But you are disappointed that the first day of this war proposed by President Bush will be St. Patrick's Day, correct?
We are, frankly, Phil, astonished and disappointed that the president would be, you know, I mean, so insensitive as to launch a war on St. Patrick's Day. That would come, I can assure you, as an insult to Irish Americans as well as Irish. I think it's bigoted. It probably comes from, I don't know what it comes from. We do know that Mr. Bush has had a drinking problem, and we feel there might be some deep-seated shame, but that's only my opinion.
The president has said he will hit Iraq on March 17th. I don't even know if that's the day he's going to hit Iraq. He says that's the deadline day, March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. As an Irish American, you feel that is insensitive and bigoted.
That is correct.
All right. Now, explain that last comment, though, that you think it's because he's got a problem with people that can drink.
The president has had a well-known drinking problem, Phil, and now that he is trying to abstain from drinking, he doesn't seem to care about the millions of Irish and Irish Americans and other people who would like to go out on St. Patrick's Day and have a beer or any cocktail that you like. I think it mocks us that he is going to launch a war on St. Patrick's Day.
So your letter to him says what, in effect?
Well, basically what our letter says is we find it reprehensible that President Bush, because he can't handle a drink, all of a sudden would be so insensitive to those Irish Americans who can't.
Well, let's be clear here. President Bush, for whatever reason, has given up drinking. You say he can't handle a drink.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that President Bush can't handle a drink. Otherwise, why would he quit? And that's the bottom line there. And people who can't handle a drink do have jealousy about people who can. On St. Patrick's Day, millions of Irish Americans and people around the world will celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and he goes and he wants to have his war against Iraq, which shows, I think, a very deep and fundamental disrespect of Irish culture. St. Patrick's Day is an important day for us in that it does represent the establishment of Catholicism in Ireland. It also represents a day of spiritual unity among the people of the world, and Bush says he's going to attack Iraq on that day. I think it is insensitive. I don't think it's funny. I think he's trying to have a joke at our expense because he can't handle a drink.
Okay, you think President Bush is bitter over his drinking problem and jealous of Irishmen is what you're saying?
Well, sir,
is that what you're saying?
Well, we're a war on a day when most of us are having a good time. I want to make it clear that we support the president in his war against Iraq.
So if he started it a day later or a couple of days later, it'd be all right with you?
I don't know, and I don't want to tell the president his business. But to commence a war against Iraq on the one day when the rest of us who know how to take a drink want to go out and maybe relax and have a cocktail, and because he can't handle his drink, and he's sloppy with one heat, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, let me give our number, 1-800-449. I think it's an interesting point. I find it... St. Patrick's Day, I grew up Catholic, Irish Catholic, as a matter of fact. St. Patrick's Day was the day that we wore green to school. Beyond that, I don't remember getting any real tuition in the meaning of St. Patrick's Day. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, everybody. This is the Phil Hendry Show. With me is Stephen Bozell. He's with an organization called the Gaelic League of America, some 15,000 Irish Americans and people of Irish descent in the United States who are... perturbed with President Bush about launching a war against Iraq on St. Patrick's Day. Some people might think you're joking, Mr. Bozell.
No, I understand that, Mr. Henry. One of the things I think everybody needs to realize, the President of the United States does have a drinking problem. And I'm not saying he is a mean man by any stretch of the imagination, but he, some deep-seated hatred of people who can't drink for people who can drink is very common, and that includes all the Irish Americans in this country. We can handle a drink.
Well, you're not suggesting that there's no alcoholics among the Irish.
No, no, I would not do that, sir, but I can tell you on St. Patrick's Day, we go out, we have ourselves a taste. And it's always the Irish who have to suffer. The Irish are always going to have to take the falls for some guy who can't hold his drink.
Okay, you know...
And the other thing, Mr. Henry, I want to say, I don't think it's just Irishmen. He's just jealous of anybody who can have a social drink without taking a leak in a punch bowl or wearing a champlade, or a lampshade, I should say. And a challenge we have today, Phil, is trying to explain to our children, our Irish-American children, that on St. Patrick's Day, the day we wear green and the day we celebrate our heritage with a short drink at lunch or a short beer, that President Bush is so angry at his known weakness for not being able to hold a drink that he wants to launch a war against Iraq and destroy St. Patrick's Day on St. Patrick's Day. To me, that's what's wrong.
All right, with me is Stephen Bozell. The president's not consciously trying to destroy. I want to make this clear. The president's not consciously trying to destroy St. Patrick's Day. You're not saying that.
I don't think it's conscious. I do think, coming from his deep-seated resentment of people who can hold a drink, that he has subconsciously decided, I think I'll just go ahead and launch the war against Iraq on St. Patrick's Day.
Because he doesn't want anybody having any fun?
Because he deep-seated, he don't want anybody to have no fun, yeah.
All right, so I know your group has filed a federal lawsuit, and the group, again, ladies and gentlemen, is the Gaelic League of America, 15,000. What's the membership of your group, you know?
We have 15,231 members. We got some 2,033 associate members and chapters in 15 major American cities, Phil.
Okay, and so you are filing a lawsuit in a federal court in Dallas. Are you hoping to receive an injunction?
What we're hoping for is a federal injunction against the use of troops on March 17th. Which is St. Patrick's Day and a very special day for Irish and Irish Americans.
And you're looking for federal money for Irish American children?
That is correct.
Why?
Because the trauma of knowing, I think any Irish American child who knows that the president hates them, I mean, we're going to need educational funding.
All right, well, this is what I'm getting to. You're telling the Irish American children in America that the president hates them? And that...
What are they supposed to think when on the one day they get to wear green and you can go have a short beer for lunch, that the President of the United States started a war with Iraq? Now, it's tough going. We want educational funding.
But you're saying that the President...
Mr. Henry, if I could, it's worked for the blacks and for the Chinese, and it can work for the Irish, too. You look at the Chinese, have assimilated perfectly, and what we're trying to do is to have some educational funding to get us over this hump. Because right now, you have some... 15.5 million Americans of Irish descent that we know of who have to put up with the insult of a war happening on St. Patrick's Day when I want to have a beer.
But you want federal funding for Irish children, too.
We're looking for some federal funding, right, because it works for the Chinese. It works for the Chinese good.
All right, here's our number, 1-800-449-8686. A couple things on the table right now. President Bush is known to have a drinking problem. It is the opinion of at least one organization of Irish Americans that the president, because of his drinking problem, wants to launch a war against Iraq on St. Patrick's Day as a way of ruining a day for drinkers. Mr. Stephen Bozell from the Gaelic League of America says it's bigotry and it's anti-Irish. Now, his group favors the president and favors his war on terrorism. They just believe that it is insensitive for him to start it on St. Patrick's Day for some 15 million Irish Americans. Rhonda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi there. I just wanted to tell you, I can't believe that you have a group of ignorant people like this on a national talk show like this. First of all, the March 17th
talking
date...
To me?
Ma'am, I'm not ignorant. I
well,
represent,
sir, I beg to differ
because...
Can I ask
you what you are? Are
you know what?
Are you Irish?
If you would please let me get a word in, and I've been listening to you long enough.
I'm just asking, are you Irish?
Absolutely. March 17th, if you know much, was a date brought up by Tony Blair at the UN that we agreed to.
Okay, he's English,
you know,
and
that?
They hate the Irish. The English hate the Irish. The English hate the Irish.
Do you understand that alcoholism...
The English have traditionally hated the Irish, so that doesn't surprise me at all. What's your second point?
You know what? You're using everything against the Irish. I mean, second of all, do you really believe that the United States is going to announce the date of the attack, for God's sake?
What did he say on TV? He said
it
March 17th.
It was a deadline, sir. It was a deadline. Hi, we're going to attack you at 2 a.m. on the 17th. Come on, buddy. Just put some brains in
here. From now on,
the second thing is,
history,
you're attacking... You're attacking President Bush as an alcoholic. Would you be attacking him if he had diabetes? It is a genetic disorder, sir.
I will say this.
A genetic disorder.
If he had diabetes and he wanted to get rid of candy bars, if he had diabetes and he wanted to get rid of candy bars, I'd say there had something to do with it. Yes, ma'am.
Sir, what is your highest level of education?
Ma'am, let me ask you, and I want you to be honest.
Sir, what is your highest level of education?
I will answer your question if you'll answer mine.
Absolutely.
Okay, my highest level of education, I had 1 year junior college.
Uh-huh, I can tell.
Okay, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay, and you're Irish. Yeah, sure.
Well, what does that mean?
What
does
sir?
That mean, sir?
We don't have Irish here. Another ignorant
Jews,
comment out of an ignorant man.
You know how many Jews are down there, so I don't need that.
Okay, now hold on for just a second. There's
sir,
Cubans.
He's very racist.
There are.
Well, how am I racist? You're lying. You're Jewish and telling me that.
How do you? She said she's Irish. She's
calling from South Florida.
Yeah, there's more than just Jewish folk down there. There's black
sir,
people.
Sir, you're showing
she
your ignorance once again.
Well, so you're talking down to me because
you're
I can hold my drink.
You're showing your ignorance once again. And how dare you say you support President Bush and then call him an alcoholic that doesn't know what he's doing the next.
Wait a minute.
Shame
I
on
said
you.
He can't
and
hold a drink. He can't hold
a drink.
A drink. He can't.
What's that supposed to mean? Is that a nice way of saying, sir, you're not an alcoholic?
Well, he is.
And even if he is, so what? He's leading our country, as you say you
absolutely.
Support him.
Absolutely, and I do support him. All I'm saying is, why has he got a crap all over the rest of us who get to have a short beer for St. Patrick's Day? What's wrong with that?
You know what? Obviously, you're not going to be out in the military and actually physically defending our country. So maybe you should go in a house and go ahead and get bloody drunk on St. Patrick's Day or whatever you want to do.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you this much. At least I can hold a drink. And I'd rather have me out there than President Bush, who can't hold a drink.
That is such a lame thing to say, at least I can hold a drink.
Well,
what are you scratching your belly as you're saying that?
No, ma'am, I'm saying...
At least I can hold a drink.
See, anti-Irish. The Irish who had to take it all these years for everybody who... says we're alcoholics, but the president's the one who's the alcoholic, not me.
Now you just said to me 2 minutes ago he's not an alcoholic, he just can't hold a drink. Now you just turned it around, sir. You know what?
Well,
I think you're better off closing down the show, apologizing to the American citizens for what you have said here tonight.
Well, you say you're Jewish, then you turn around and say you're Irish when it suits you.
I never said I was Jewish, sir. Why don't you rewind your tape?
She never said she was Jewish.
She said she's calling from South Florida, which is basically Jew heaven.
Okay, I'm gonna terminate this conversation.
Thank
any
you,
more
sir.
This anti-Semitism?
Sir, I'm
thank
not
you,
anti-Semitic.
Sir. He's being very
okay.
anti-Semitic.
Saying Jew heaven is anti-Semitic.
I have a Jewish friend. You know what he calls his Cadillac?
Oh,
I don't care.
He calls it a Jew canoe.
I don't care.
Sir, I think you should terminate him. He's ignorant. He's giving a bad
it
impression
all boils
for the
down
president.
To racism. Bush is racist against Irishmen, and that's all there is to it.
Oh, come on. Even you said you didn't think he was racist. You just said you thought he was misinformed.
I just think he's tempted on St. Patrick's Day to have a drink. And because he wants to keep his mind off it, that's what he's going to do.
Do you really believe that, sir? I mean, you really, really, truly believe that.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am? Do you honestly believe that it's a coincidence that he said March 17th, knowing full
well? He didn't, sir. Tony Blair brought it up.
Okay, all
he
the
did
more.
He didn't. Let's get your facts straight.
And you don't think Bush recognized the significance of that?
I don't believe it was a slight against the Irish. I mean, if that's the case, then you're saying that, okay, let's say the war doesn't happen until Easter, and then we do it on Easter Day. Oh, then he's all against all Christians?
He ain't going to do it on Easter, I guarantee you. I've been to two World's Fair, and let me tell you what. There's no way Bush attacks on Easter because he likes all them Bible people. But Catholics, forget
all the Bible people,
that's
sir?
Right. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, obviously you are not a Christian either.
I'm a Catholic.
You're a Catholic right. And you called all them Bible people?
We don't have nothing. We
sir,
don't have. We don't have any.
I don't want to discuss with this
we
person
don't have
anymore.
No with Bible
I'm hanging up because
okay.
You know what?
Well, you got to go to temple now?
Okay, you're starting sir, with that Jewish thing.
She's got to get out to the synagogue, don't she?
Okay.
No. You know what? I'm going to go to my priest and ask her for a confession for you.
How do you know he's a priest?
What are you talking about?
How do you know?
You're way off base.
No,
you're totally off the subject you called in about.
How do you know he's a priest is all I'm asking.
What do you mean, how does she know he's a priest?
I said, he's not listening to me, sir.
Because I'm trying to trip her up. Because she says she's not Jewish.
All right, stop. Okay, Rhonda, thank you very much.
You want me to give you a Hail Mary, sir? You want me to give you a Hail Mary?
Does he wear a beanie?
You want me to tell you
does he wear a
about,
beanie?
You are very anti-Semitic,
no,
sir.
No, I'm just asking, does he wear a beanie?
Does my priest wear a beanie?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. Does yours? Shame
no,
on you.
No, because that's what a rabbi wears.
And let's get on to something, sir, as long as you're saying that. Jesus Christ was a Jew first, okay?
Oh, so now it proves that you're Jewish. Listen, Golda, why don't you get in your Jew canoe?
Okay, that lady has been... Are you there, ma'am?
Yes, sir,
okay,
I am.
Okay, I'm hanging
Shame
up.
Shame on him.
Thank you very much for your call. And
you can't tell me.
I just hung up on him.
Thank you very much. You
Thank
know what?
You.
I'm sorry that he did that to everybody.
Right.
And the truth is, I am a Catholic.
Well, that's fine. You could be Jewish. It doesn't matter
to us. No, but the honest truth is, and shame on him, because as a true Christian, and Catholics are Christian, you shouldn't be saying anything bad about any group of people.
Wait a minute. Now he's called back. Sir, you say it one more time.
I want to apologize, but see, she's ashamed of being Jewish.
She's not Jewish.
Then why are you making excuses for it?
And what are you doing calling back after hanging up?
You hung up on me, sir.
All right, thank you very much, Rhonda. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, is the day that President Bush has given a deadline to Iraq. It is also a day that many Irish Americans think is important. Has the president picked March 17th because he is disrespecting the Irish and because at one time in his life he had a drinking problem and wants to insult other people who like to drink socially? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Stephen Bozell from the Gaelic League of America on President Bush's perceived anti-Irish stance. Here is Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say a few things. Number one, I want to thank all of the firemen and the policemen who served the police and the fire departments of New York City for rescuing or trying to rescue my cousin in the World Trade Center. I find it highly offensive that this man gets on the line and starts calling names to different racial organizations.
No, I didn't,
and
ma'am. I just said,
them.
I'm Irish. Okay, I'm proud of that.
I know what you are. And you know what? I spent 10 years in San Francisco, and I can say some of my best friends are Irish, but I would
San Francisco,
never...
that's gay. That's not Irish.
Oh, excuse me. It's the third largest Irish population in the United States. Where did you get your information from?
Ma'am, I haven't known.
You go
up there, you find more gay people. I'm closer to San Francisco than you are. I live in Los Angeles, California. And I can tell you right now.
I'm so sorry for them. You know, I mean, maybe you should be on the Golden Gate Bridge on March 17th.
I just hope, I find it highly offensive that the president hates people who can hold their liquors.
Hate is a very, very awful word, and I think it is something that you are consumed with.
No, ma'am.
And our president of the United States would no sooner launch an attack by letting the enemy know what time, day, or place, let alone the fact that you can even comprehend that, tells me that you must be buzzed right now. Down in L.A., I think you should check yourself in.
You know something, ma'am? Just because I'm making a really good point and it's pissing you off...
In your mind...
What nationality are you?
I'm an American.
That's not a nationality. That is technically...
Yes, it is, technically.
Excuse me.
What race is that?
American.
Okay, you're a Jew too, then.
What if I'm an Indian? What if I'm a Native American person who you stole the land from?
Oh, you don't sound like no Indian, that's for sure.
Because I'm educated, is that why?
No, because you sound like too much of a Jap.
Are you Chinese? An Italian Jap, or a Japanese Jap, or a Jewish Jap, or Irish Jap, because they're all Japs.
Which one's Jewish?
Which one's Jewish?
Are you Chinese?
Hold on, Lisa. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Nine. 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I wanted to, our caller is still hanging on. I want to get back to her because we didn't really have enough time there before the break. And you wanted to make a point, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir. The point that I wanted to make, Phil, I was in the United States Air Force, and I know that the first 48 hours of any military action are pivotal. And I think that it is time for us to look at something that we don't want to look at, but I think it's very important. If the president, in the first 48 to 72 hours of this campaign, were to fall off the wagon or be tempted on account of it being St. Patrick's Day, mister, you got yourself a problem.
And you're sitting around worrying about whether President Bush falls off the wagon?
I think, sir, if this is the kind of hatred he has for people that can take a drink...
All right, let me get back to the lady. Lisa, go ahead.
I just still cannot get over the word hatred that this gentleman keeps on using. And so you said you served in the USAF. How
yes,
long
ma'am.
Did you serve for? 2 years?
I was four years, ma'am.
And let me ask you, what did you fly?
I was
fly?
In the 8th Air Force.
Did you fly?
No, ma'am, I did not. I was ground. Ground crew.
Okay, and why did you leave the Air Force after only 4 years? I have friends that served in Desert Storm.
Well, you know something, ma'am? Maybe I just felt like moving on with my life. What's that got to do with anything? I served my country
well,
for
4 years.
Well,
I don't know. What does reparations for children who are suffering from the hatred from President Bush have to do with anything? Do you
just need more booze money?
Oh,
see, there you go. See, there's your hatred
you
for Irish children. There's your hatred for Irish children. Okay. Well, it's nothing new, because the British hate the Irish, and you're probably British. And
no,
I will
I'm
say,
not.
But you know something? I will say this. Are you,
my uncle served President Nixon. How do you like them apples?
Nixon? Well, I hope God forgives him for that. Now,
oh, wait a minute. Was it military, Lisa?
No. How about as the ambassador to St. James Court in the good old UK?
Bull crap. And I'll tell you this: if you're a relative or whoever, then it doesn't surprise me you hate the Irish, because it's well known that the English hate the Irish.
It's
well known that the English hate the Irish. Well, you know everybody, don't you? Hey, let me ask you something.
I guess because I'm not bigoted and narrow-minded, I guess I embrace race. I don't even want this war to happen.
I guess you got invited to Puff Daddy's party, too, huh, as long as we're on the subject.
Can we grow up and...
I don't like the Screen Actors Guild because I think that they are biased against the war.
Ma'am, I think you're full of it. You know people in Desert Storm. You know people in the World Trade Center.
I should do.
What next?
I should do.
What next? You know the president, too?
I should give you names,
you know Bono?
Whatever you need.
The one thing that has destroyed this country, and I will say this, and it came from Ireland.
Letting the Irish in?
I beg your pardon?
Letting the Irish in?
No, letting in you Jews. But the second thing...
Okay, Jesus. 1-800-449-8686. Pete, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to make a point. As an Irishman myself, with strong Irish heritage, I'm very proud that if we were to attack on St. Patrick's Day... You know what? An Irishman has a fighting heart, and we're real scrappers.
You're right.
If we have to attack on that day, so be it. I think it honors the Irish then.
And what do you think about what Riverdance did?
I'm sorry, say again?
I said, what
I'm
do you
on
think?
A, I'm on a cell phone.
Okay,
so.
Sir. Okay, sir. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What do you think about the effect that Riverdance had?
That Riverdance had?
Yes, sir.
Are you serious?
No, sir, I am dead serious. The fact is that if there is one thing that did damage American-Irish relations, it was that river dance, and that it was very overdone. And I think it has prompted a lot of bad feelings toward the Irish. Now,
Wait. River dance, the dancing thing?
Right, because there were so many people who thought it was just such crap, you know, and President Bush, too.
So you're agreeing with President Bush that you thought it was crap?
No, I don't think it's crap, but what I am saying is that I think Riverdance did bad stuff. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. 1-800-449...
Riverdance portrayed all Irish as gays. And to me, that is a step in the wrong direction as far as President Bush was concerned.
Well, then you would have, then like the guy said, you would at least understand President Bush is having bad feelings toward the Irish, Riverdance, and the fact that he can't hold a drink. And that's why he's attacking on March 17th.
Okay, go ahead and laugh. Go to hell.
Hello? okay, if that guy calls back, do not let him back on the air. I let him back on the air once already. This guy calls my show, and he's got 5 million different reasons why we're attacking on March 17th. Riverdance makes all the Irish look gay, and so therefore President Bush has got a problem with the Irish, and so he thinks he'll attack, so we can't have a party, because he can't hold a drink. Unbelievable that a guy would come on a radio show, waste my time with his falderall. Yeah?
Two things President Bush hates is booze and gays.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned, two great things about life. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. By the way, the voice of Steve Bozell was actually me. Coming up on our program today, we have a flashback now. Steve Bozell, well, no, wait, this is, who is this? Bob Green. Bob Green on, I don't even know what day we're, you know, last week we weren't here on Thursday. Friday we were here. So this is from Friday's show. Okay. On Friday, Bob Green visited us to tell us about his 15-year-old daughter dressing like a slut out with her friends, unbeknownst to him. So his way of disciplining her is to have her dress up like a slut and serve his friends drinks, cigars, and sandwiches at a poker party. Here it is from
Phil
Friday.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, Mr. Green.
Yes, ma'am.
Here's
another one from the rest home.
This is not one
from the rest home. I have a bad cold, and let me tell you, you're full of yourself. Somebody does need to get your name and number, and they need to take your daughter away from you. Your wife should have taken that gun and blown your head
Nobody
off because you're full
daughter.
Of it.
Nobody takes my daughter
and
away.
And you're
from
not old-fashioned. You don't have any type of morals whatsoever because
Republican
you're so full of yourself.
Good Republican.
Any man that would let his daughter sit on his friend's lap needs to be put in jail because you are promoting the whorism, not her. You are condoning what your friends are doing, and you are full of yourself, mister.
Oh,
and your wife, bless her soul, she's better off with you, without you. She's probably much better off, and she should have blown your head off because you need it.
Where is she now?
Well, she's probably in heaven away from your big fat mouth.
I doubt it.
You're the biggest jerk I ever heard in my life, and somebody needs to put you out of your misery.
That may be, but my daughter won't grow up to be a...
I get it, a whore.
You got it.
You know what? You're the whore. And however you say that, you don't even speak correctly.
You
don't even have the intelligence to speak correctly.
I bet
you don't even have a college education.
You
work 8 hours, you must do pitiful work. You are pathetic, and you need to have your ass kicked.
Hey, how many Swing Out Sister albums have you got?
How many Swing Out Sister albums? What are you talking about, you asshole?
Let me ask you something stupid.
You are so full of yourself, you make me sick. And everybody that's listening to you, why don't you cram that shotgun up your butt and blow it through your nose?
You know something?
Because that's where the bullet hole needs to go.
The only thing ought to be blown through a nose.
Why don't you cram it, mister? And I hope they find out where your daughter is and where you live so they will come.
Is that a piece of shag rug between your teeth? Or you just
I hope everybody that's listening to this will have your name and address.
Oh, let me give it to them, okay? Let me give it to them. My name is Bob Green.
And give them your address, too.
Yeah, 3131 Up Yours Boulevard.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they
okay,
find
you got
it.
That?
Sure. There's always an asshole walking around on the street. You're the biggest one.
Well,
you know what? You have cranial rectitis. Your head's up your ass because you don't know what's going on.
I bet you did a real deep study of that, too.
Oh, you probably did. It's your head up your ass. What are you talking about?
Well, how can you be talking to me, then?
You know what? You're a sickie.
You know what? Because you're right up there with me.
No,
let me tell you something, lady.
You are a lowlife.
8 hours a day.
And you aren't worth the sound of it.
No, she's not going to come on and do that. I raised my daughter. My wife went out
No, you have not raised her.
Out.
Oh, really?
You are playing a game with this young girl.
Hey, let me ask something. You got
I'm
kids?
The mother of a daughter, and I would be
appalled
if my husband did that to our daughter.
So you let your daughter walk out there dressed like a whore.
You know what?
Children,
a whore? What is a whore?
What is it with you,
is
man?
Is that the same with a lure? You don't even know how to say the word.
Oh, really? Well, I bet
you are not even an educated man.
Well, I bet you've had a lot of practice.
You
know something? You're making me hot.
I can tell by listening to you don't even know what you're talking about.
No, you're making me hot.
Okay,
thank you. Oh, yeah, sure, you're hot.
Okay, if you know how to pronounce whore, how do you pronounce whore?
Well, whore. What's a whore?
You haven't got a cold. Your voice is like that because you just finished your shift at the dock.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay. Well, wasn't that just one big festival of repartee? Wow! Whoever you are, lady, good for you. You hung with Bob Green in a fantastic way. Bob Green there, the chairman of Fraser Foods. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods, a grocery store. And, oh, yeah, by the way, his daughter went out dressed as a whore. So he made her dress as a whore and serve sandwiches, drinks, and cigars to his friends. That's from Friday's show. Well, welcome back. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You know, if you really want to figure out what the show is about, you got to get a backstage pass to our website. It's only $6.95 a month. That gives you all of the audio, classic audio from 7, 8, 9 years back. We also have some wonderful long-form, short-form bits on there. We've got caller bits. We've got Skippy and Frank stuff. We have our 30-day archive. Now, what the 30-day archive is 30 days of our full shows going back 30 days. So from today back 30 days, all 3 hours of each show, Monday through Friday. And you can go online and check out any one of those days, any hour, any bit that you may have missed. So that's also what you get with your backstage pass. You don't need a backstage, and there's no commercials if you listen to us online. You can listen to the live streaming of our radio show, and also you can hear the show on demand 24 hours a day. So if you're not available 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 Eastern, wherever you are, you can hear the show. It's interesting, we get mail from all over the world. That's kind of standard now with internet shows. There are people who listen to you literally all over the world. You can get a call from Sri Lanka. I remember we were doing one of those, I don't know, about 5-6 years ago, one of those shows where, hey, who's in a really remote place? And I think we got a call from, like, some South Pacific island somewhere. We got a call from some French atoll. Also, speaking of the French, a new feature on our website, we're going to be listing French products for you to boycott. As a matter of fact, just to get it kicked off, I have the list right here, and we're going to have that. So, as a friendly consumer reminder, your friendly Phil Henry Show, you can one stop go to our website, and you can find French products that you can buy and pour into the sewer. Or don't buy. Now, I'm serious. You know, I don't care. I mean, if you want to go out and boycott it, you can. But you may not actively go out seeking French stuff, but you may be interested to know that among things produced by French companies, Bic pens. Yeah! Didn't know that, did you? That's right. The Bic pens, lighters, and razors. Frog. Chanel perfume. Well, you knew that. Cheese. Look at this. I love Doug Jones, who's our webmaster. He says, cheese labeled a product of France. Thank you, Doug, very much. See, if it says product of France, well, then you don't want to buy it. Christian Dior. Sorry about that, Chris, but, you know. Christian LaCroix, leather goods and fashion. Sorry about that, Chris, but, you know. Dannon Yogurt. Sorry about that, Janice. Dannon Yogurt? My kid eats Dannon Yogurt. That's it. That's the end of Dannon Yogurt in my home. The end. Nothing against you guys at Dannon. Nothing against you personally. But sometimes a man's got to do what a man's got to do. Excuse me, I just dropped something here.
My Bic pen.
Anyway, honest to God, I don't want to hurt the average working man. But you see, this is where you can put pressure on the slobs you work for and say, look, what are you guys doing? You're ruining business with America. You can't just go off hilly-nilly-willy and do whatever you want to do when at whatever time, day or night. There's going to be some consequences to your actions. We got a bunch of guys laying in the ground over there under American flags for you clowns. And you can spit in our face if you want to, but guess what? It's going to cost you this time around. This time at bat, it's going to cost you. We've taken your crap on the streets of Paris long enough. We've listened to your cops insist that we speak English. We've listened to your bullcrap. Fine. Guess what? Now it's going to start the cause. And if you think I'm kidding, I go on Le Monde every day. Le Monde is a Paris newspaper. They don't have it in English, just French, which doesn't come as a surprise. So I hit translate this page. And when you have French translated in English, it sort of fractures it. However, get a load of this. French business is now worried. The French business people are worried, and they're now not giving any opinion when they're asked about their government's actions on Iraq. They say, well, you know, I don't have any opinion, because they definitely are afraid of a consumer boycott. Now, the United States government in Washington, our guys are going to do anything. That's cool, whatever. But the frogs are worried that just the rank-and-file American guys just hasn't, we can't stomach you guys anymore. And so they're so upset about that, that they're now, when they're asked, what do you think about your government's actions with regard to Iraq, they're going, no opinion, we just make a yogurt. What do you think of that? What else? Michelin tires. Louis Vuitton. You know those Louis Vuitton bags? Forget it. Lecoq Sportif Sporting Goods, Lancome Makeup. They publish magazines like Marie Claire, Elle, Car and Driver, Road and Track. Start reading Hot Rod Magazine. That's a good American magazine about drag racing. They don't do that in France, at least not with cars. Let's see what else. Patrick Shoes, Paul Sebastian Perfumes, Pernod, Ricard, Seagram Spirits. Seagram? Wait a minute. Seagram makes Don Julio tequila. On second thought, why don't we just sort of back off of the boycott idea until we study the situation? Okay, now all you skiers out there, which I know you guys are probably the least socially and politically motivated of anybody, all you guys want to do is hit the slopes. You know, you slap on your boots and you walk there with your skis down the hill. Let me ask you a question. Do you walk through the hotel in your ski boots to look cool? Why don't you just take your stupid boots off, put on some shoes like another human being, and walk back to your room? You're walking through the lobby of the hotel in your ski boots, and it makes me want to just stick my leg out and trip you just for giggles. Sodexco, I don't know what the hell it is. Total gasoline stations. You ever heard of that? I don't know what that. Yves Rocher, French Cosmetics, Wine and Champagne, labeled a product of France. Thank you very much, Doug, for that. Also, here are French wines to avoid. Georges Dubof, Antonin Rodet, Burgundies, Domaine des Pépris, Domaine Jacques Puré, Château de Rully, Château de Ronton, Château de Ronton, asshole. Also, Canal Plus, Pierre Canan, Chanel, ba-boom, ba-bing, ba-bing, bam-boom. Go to our website. We'll lay it out there for you. Just if you're a homemaker, if you're in charge of, buying for the home, your one-stop shopping spot, the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show.
We
1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
We.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Took the kids to the beach yesterday. Marie and I both took the kids to the beach, and it's cold in California, but you can lay on the sand. I think they actually tried to go into water, and then they came out, and I said, how come you guys aren't in there? It's cold. I said, well, it is winter. What's that supposed to mean? What is it supposed to mean? Well, it's only a week, and there's going to be spring. It's still cold in there. So they were there playing in the sand. And I sit down next to my daughter, and she looks over at me, and she says the magic words, can I bury you in the sand? Oh, boy. And I'm like, I don't want to do that, man. And she goes, eh. So I had one of those thoughts. I had one of those moments. You know, soon she'll be all grown up and moved out. And when that blessed day occurs, you might as well give her a little time now. So I said, okay. So I laid down, and I took my shirt off, and I kept it in my left hand, and I had my watch on my left arm, my left wrist. I said, just don't get any sand on the watch or the shirt. So, you know, like, she buried my arm up to just see this hand sticking out with a shirt in it.
And she buried me, you know, my legs and everything. And I put a hat on, and of course, cramming sand in my ear, and I got it in my mouth. And I hear my son go, "What are you doing? You got sand in his ear." And she's like, "And don't get the sand in my ear, you know?" So here was the big controversy, though. I'm such a fat slob that I could still feel my belly was exposed. And I said, "Bury my stomach, too. Come on. I'm trying. But every time you take a breath, it pushes all the sand off." I said, what are you, crazy? You could get a dump truck full of sand and dump it on me. Then do you think you'll see my stomach? You're breathing too much. Oh, I get it. I'm breathing too much. I'll just hold my breath through this process, and that way you can cover up my stomach. Cover up my stomach. So this went on for like a half hour. I would take a deep breath. She'd go, "Quit taking a deep breath, because it'll push off all the sand." That's how fat my gut is. My gut can push a ton of sand. I take a deep breath, and the whole thing. So that was one of those really cool moments, you know. And then we went and we got strawberries. And, you know, here's the thing about kids. You just got to remember that when they get hungry, you're going to want to kill them. See, when they get hungry, you got to feed them. If you don't, you're going to be hearing crying and wailing and screeching and moaning. And then they finally fall asleep, which is what happened to them yesterday. All right, this is Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, kind of like you're doing right now. Anyway, well, it was a beautiful moment that I wanted to share with you. The other thing that I want to share with you, I got to take a physical tomorrow for this pilot that we're shooting at NBC. I have to go and I have to have a physical exam because they don't want some fat slob going out on their soundstage and doing a sitcom and then collapsing of a coronary right there in front of thousands, if not hundreds, of astonished viewers. And so you got to go and you got to get that checked out. And then after we do the physical, then on the 28th of March, we will go in and shoot our pilot. And that will take, you know, a week of rehearsing. And then by May 15th, the network will send down the word, "Yeah, that's really great. Thanks a lot, Mr. Henry." And that'll be the end of our TV career, and we'll be back to doing what we know and love best. It's the old radio show. So tomorrow I go in for the physical, and I pray to God I don't get that three-finger bouquet. I couldn't possibly. It's a female doctor. There's no way in hell. And my wife said, "What is it about men? We hear it's a female doctor. We're like, she's not putting her finger up my rear end, is she?" My wife said something very, "Would you rather have a guy do it?" I mean, it made sense. I said, "Yeah, I think I would." "Well, what's that about?" "I don't know what it's about. It's just that guy doctors have been putting on the old rubber glove since my early 20s, and I would like them to continue. I don't want, I doubt if it's going to be one of those. I think it's just listen to the heart, breathe in, look out, then she'll go, "Yeah, okay." She'll light up a cigarette and say, "Thanks, Mr. Andrew, you're out of here." Turn your head and cough, and then it'll be done. Turn your head and cough. Is that look for what? Hernias? Don't you think you'd know you had a hernia before somebody was grabbing the old sackaroo? Someone was putting their hand on your Royal American? Don't you think you'd figure you had one by then? "Gee, I don't know if I have a hernia. I better go in and have it checked again." Some guy's going in six times a week for a hernia check. "Hi, you again?" "Well, I'm pretty sure you don't have a hernia. Come on, I'm paying." "All right. Turn your head and cough again." They give that to the kids for school sports. So, yeah, then we'll go in. And now here's the interesting thing. If we go to war with Iraq on March 17th, there's no way I'm going to be off the air. So if I'm shooting a television show. See, I don't mean the reason why I'm talking about this, guys, is just to let you know it's going to be kind of a wild week. If I'm shooting a television show, I'm going to come in and I'm going to do like probably 6 hours of radio because we're not going to be on tape during any part of the very early and intense part of this war. So that means I'm going to be doing live for the West Coast, live for the East Coast. In addition to that, we'll be doing our show, our TV show. That's if we go to war. If we don't, then everything's going to be good. So by the end of that week, I'll be ready to collapse. And then they take the pilot, and then they take it and they edit it and try to save it and try to make it somewhat watchable. And then by the time it goes into the network people, they're like retching. And then they call. Usually they don't call. Usually you wait and you wait and you wait. You don't hear anything. So then you call them and they go, yeah, we're not picking it up. It's, oh boy, pretty sick stuff. And I can certainly understand that. Because frankly, the idea we have is twisted and disgusting. And you wouldn't want to watch it anyway. And then they take the master tape of our pilot and they tape their favorite episodes of Friends over it. And that's what, really what happens. Here's your pilot, Phil. Do you want it for any reason? Not really, because I was wondering if I could tape Friends over it. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, man. And then after that happens, then I can give you the full and complete rundown on how television life was for the last year and a half. Because it was really interesting. And I had so many opinions that I did, personally I didn't want to share with you, because business is business. Now, you can say, oh, don't you have the guts? Well, you know, yeah, I've got the guts to hang myself, sure. I got the guts to lose a job. Is that what you mean? That the kind of guts that you're talking about? There's a lot of opinions that I had about certain product that I didn't say anything about it because, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. But after they tell us to go take our pilot and pound it, then we can, you know. And let me just say this. NBC has been nothing short of fantastic. Everybody I've met over there is great. Everybody. Wonderful people all the way on down the line. Nice folks. We got a great director. We got great everything. It's been great. But, you know, even the finest of fine sometimes, you know, sometimes smell it up. So it'll be interesting. Coming up, we got an interview with Bill Maher. Bill Maher has gone from his politically incorrect television show, and Mr. Maher now is on HBO, and we are excited to have Bill on the air with us. We'll be talking to him about his new TV show and some of the things that he'll be talking about should we go to war. And we'll also have a few other things, a Saddam Hussein roast coming up this hour. Also, we're going to be talking with some human shields live from Baghdad. People who are still there. There are a few that are left. Most people have left. Why? They figured out it wasn't safe. What were you thinking? Well, I don't understand. Whose husband let you go in the... Notice I assume they're all women. I guess I shouldn't do that. We went to Iraq to be human shields, right? And now you're home. Why? They were going to drop bombs on us. I didn't think it was a smart thing. Here's the thing about the human shields that Saddam didn't figure out. He never figured it out, and I never opened my big bazoo about it because I didn't want to tip anything. You know who was mixed in with the human shields, don't you? Take a guess. We had intelligence. We had operatives. We had people that went in there with cameras and, oh, yeah, if I had a hammer, yeah, peace now, taking pictures all over the place. And Saddam, you know, he's smart, but he might have been born at night, but it was last night. So we got in there, took a few pictures of the foxholes and all of the crap, and then we split because it wasn't safe. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay. Wow. Welcome back here to the Saddam Hussein roast. I'm Tariq Aziz. I'm the Deputy Foreign Minister.
Thank you. Jesus.
And let me say it again. I'm the Deputy Foreign Minister.
Right.
Slow, isn't it? I swear to God, you're getting slow. It's nuts. Okay, tonight we are going to honor a great man, Saddam Hussein. I don't know why we're honoring this guy. What'd we do? Run out of human beings? Now, Saddam, seriously, I love it. Hey, by the way, why did Saddam cross the road? I don't know. He heard the chicken was a slut. Saddam, seriously, we are so indebted to you to be here on this show today. To be with us, And I want to say from the bottom of my heart that you are the kind of guy who... Well, you know what? You don't put on airs. After all that holiday eating, you have enough time putting on your pants. So...
Took a little while to get that out, didn't it?
Yes. I'll get to you later, Stinky. You're crazy, not. Say, why don't women blink during foreplay with Saddam? You know that? They don't have time. All right. Love that. Okay, listen. What does Saddam and sperm have in common? They both have a 1 in 1,000,000 chance of becoming a human being? You got it. Okay. Eddie, save the ammunition, will you, Jesus? Every time he has a drink, he's there with the gun up in the air. Okay, but we're here today really to honor a man. What can you say about this guy who is admired, who is revered, who is loved by everyone? Well, I can start by saying he's not the man we're honoring tonight. But, actually, you know, he doesn't put on airs, as I said. He puts his pants... He's afraid that nobody will remember him when he's... Thank you. Let me start all over again. He's, boy, that one, you almost got me that time, Bobby. Yeah, you're getting better with that. Listen, this is a guy who's afraid that no one will remember him when he's gone. Now, I can think of several reasons he'll be remembered, but he wouldn't like any of them. All right, you know, boy, your timing is really up for the ass, isn't it? Up for the ass? The hell? Give me that gun for a minute. There, that's what you get. All right. You know what I love about Saddam, though? He's always been a swinger, you know? Instead of an umbilical cord, though, it was a bungee cord that he was... Never mind. There's no middle ground with this guy. You either hate him or you detest him. Thank you.
Jesus, hey. Boy, you stunt that up, didn't you? Hi, everybody. This is Rasan. We're here tonight...
Hold on. Give me this thing. What are you, nuts? At least I don't stiff like you.
Stiff? Give me that. There, now can I have the mic back?
Look, I wanted to say something about Saddam Hussein because I appreciate the fact... I'd like to introduce a man who never says a bad word about anybody because he doesn't know anybody.
This guy is so middle of the road, his nickname is Median.
That's what I thought. What did God say after creating Saddam?
I must be able to do better than that. You got it.
All right, well, that's it. We'll see you later.
Jesus. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Those are the only jokes we got.
Sorry, Saddam.
Oh, no. Put it down.
Jesus, that sucked. That's live from Baghdad. That was the Saddam roast. We want to go back to Baghdad now as we continue on our newsmaker line. We've had intermittent phone problems today, but I think we can get back on the line because we have live in Baghdad a group of human shields. And I don't really want to call them human shields because it's so dehumanizing. They are people who have gone there to try and protest the war. Margaret Gray is on the line. Margaret, I know that you are in favor of the. I know that you're in favor of the of an attack on Iraq. Thanks for joining us.
Phil, we're very, very happy to be with you here live in Baghdad, as we are against a proposed attack. Everybody, 1, 2, 3. No war. No war.
All right, Margaret, can you please?
Come on, Phil, you fascist bastard pig. No war, no war. All right, they're tired. Did you want something?
Yeah. You're there as a human shield against the Baghdad, you know, against the bombing of Baghdad. Are you in favor of Saddam Hussein?
You know something, Phil? I detest leading questions. I think it's very, it's irrelevant coming from a colonialist imperialist asshole like you.
No war, no war.
Can I ask you one more question?
I'm sorry, Phil. It's time for us to sing a folk song, so I'll just have to leave you now. 1, 2, 1, 2. If I had a hammer, everybody, I'd a hammer in the morning, I'd a hammer in the evening, all over this land, I'd a hammer out danger, I'd a hammer out of warning, I'd a hammer out love between brothers and sisters. All over this land!
Mark.
If I had a hammer, I had a hammer in the morning.
Margaret, don't keep doing it.
Oh. If I had...
Margaret, there's hardly anything left of you.
Hammer.
Stop. Margaret, stop. Please.
If.
Margaret Gray is in Baghdad. Margaret, you have had 6 bombs dropped on you protesting America's involvement in a war. You're trying to sing If I Had a Hammer. You can't do it.
If I had a hammer.
Margaret, please, come home.
Put me out of my misery, Phil. Thank you.
All right. If I had a hammer. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, listen, seriously, with all love and respect, this one is for all of those human shields.
My ghost.
Yeah, that's great.
I'd hammer in the evening all over this land. I'd hammer out justice. I'd hammer out.
Ow. Ow.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the Internet. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show. TV violence begets violence. Oh, please. How many more times? How many more studies? How much longer do I have to hear about TV violence? TV violence. A new study. TV violence begets violence. Another study. TV violence, maybe it doesn't do diddly squat. If you got so much problem with TV, don't watch it. That's my advice. If it seems to be a suspicious medium in your home, if you walk around the thing every day and go, is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. Don't use it. One more of these studies, and, well, you know what. You got it. Watching violence on television can encourage a child to act more aggressively even 15 years later. Maybe it does. So what? According to one of the TV violence studies to follow children into adulthood, the effect appeared in both sexes and regardless of how aggressive a person was. as a child. The study linked violent TV viewing at ages 6 to 9 and such outcome. Oh, I can't even read it. Ow. Other mental health and medical groups have taken similar stands. Joanne Carter, professor emeritus of communication at the University of Wisconsin, called the new study a very strong addition to what I consider a large amount of data that points in the same direction. Right into the toilet. I thought they figured out that it didn't do anything. Remember with Columbine? That was caused by television, wasn't it? But then somebody asked the question, if television causes that kind of violence, how come not every kid is doing it? So then they put it away for a while, and they say, well, maybe it doesn't cause violence. Well, it's back. It's back bigger and better than ever. Did I tell you that after Columbine, we found one of our kids had written a song? He wrote a song with really violent lyrics. It was rip his head off, gouge out his eyes, take a chainsaw to his head, all kinds of stuff, right? And I looked at it and I went, oh, this is great. And I said to him, I said, you were probably scared because of Columbine. And he was crying. He says, yeah, I was. And I said, you were probably venting, weren't you? And he goes, how do you know? You're such a wise adult. And then he... I'm kidding. No, I actually took the cue from my wife. I wasn't about to flip out right away. I probably would have, but my wife said, well, let's ask him about it. It was right after Columbine. He wrote a song, and it was a real, it was like a heavy metal thing. I guess what he thought was heavy metal. Kill the son of a bitch this, and, you know, murder them that. And so we asked him, we said, you know, what's going on? And because we were a little bit concerned, he started to cry, and he says, I was just scared because of all the stuff I was hearing about Columbine. I said, everything's good, man. We're not going to do anything. You were scared, so you sort of got it out on paper, huh? He goes, yeah, sure, that's what it was. I got it out on paper. Okay, fine. You know, these are kids that play video games, and yet yesterday I was trying to clear out some garbage from the side of the house. They play video games where they can, like, just cap some dude's dome, just blow some guy to pieces, and yet when I was trying to get them to help me with clearing these bricks out from the side of the house, ooh, spiders! I go, you're putting me on. Well, I just don't like spiders. Didn't you hate spiders when you were a kid? I said, yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, and I went and told a story when I was 5 years old, I remember a green thing landing on my arm, and it was a praying mantis, one of those big green praying mantis, and I screamed so loud that my old man came running into the backyard to find I was wrong, and I'll never forget my dad, when he saw what was wrong, starting to laugh. He started laughing, and he flicked it off my arm. And he goes, see? I said, yeah, I was 5. You're 11. Now, anyway... Well, I had to act like a jerk, so, you know. So look at that, man. You're killing all these guys in the video game, and a little itsy-bitsy spider hurt you. What are you going to do with that gun? Columbine all over again, huh? You know, there's so much you can do with a gun effect, isn't there? You can just punctuate a sentence with it. It could be a punchline all of its own. It can be something that sort of starts a bit off like... Good evening, I'm Bob Johnson, and this is The Shotgun. Pull! How about if you started your show instead of music, we started it with a sound effect?
This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Now, the world-famous Phil Hendry.
Thank you very much. And as the debris from the radioactive fallout settles, welcome to our program, the Phil Hendry Show. Man, I think that would be solid, don't you? Why don't we start our next break with a sound effect? Stations, please be alerted to the fact that we'll start our next break with the sound of a nuclear bomb. Are you afraid of the war? Are you afraid that it's going to be scary? I'm afraid, too. I really am. I don't think it's cool. I'm really worried about our guys. I've been reading a book called Citizen Soldier. I told you about this. It's Stephen Ambrose, History of World War II. It's an astounding book. It's an astounding book, an astounding history of what normal, regular men do when they're sort of thrown into this existential hell of war. Regular guys. Cab drivers, truck drivers, teachers, doctors, law clerks, guys that's janitors, just regular guys. They went in, and the next thing you know, they're in the middle of this landscape of hell. And how brave they were, how incredibly brave and committed to duty they were. There were a lot of guys, especially during the Battle of the Bulge, that ran, but the bravery and the commitment to duty was astounding. And the reason why I read this book is because, and not just for me, but to get some perspective, because when we go to war, and it's a when, it's not an if. I wish it was an if. I wish that guy over there would do what he's been asked to do, which is disarm. He's been asked to do it. He ain't done it. Why? I don't know. I don't know why. They're finding bombs. Today they found some bombs that could contain chemical or radiological elements. I wish he'd do it. But apparently he has absolutely no concern for his country or its standing in the international community. And so when we go to war, the thinking is, the intelligent thinking is, that we will begin an assault from the south. If we can, we will mount an assault from the north. It doesn't look like Turkey's going to allow us to do that. It doesn't matter. We can paratroop guys in. We can use our fleet in the Caspian Sea. There's some other things we could do. And that will be the relatively easy part. The tough part comes, you've probably heard people say, the difficult time comes when you go into the city of Baghdad, because it comes house to house and street fighting. And that, as we learned, as our military learned, and thank God we have the experience of knowing, as we learned in World War II, house-to-house street fighting is the single most difficult task of any military operation. And the first rule of street fighting is you stay out of the street. You don't go in the street. You go into the house. You use hand grenades. You use bazookas that blow holes through one wall into the next wall. And this is what the Russians did in Berlin. They went from one room to the next and one house to the next, just blasting the holes in walls. And that's what our guys are going to do. And every house you go into, you're dropping hand grenades into cellars. And anybody who's run upstairs is basically dead anyway. So you got to clear the room out, make sure that people are out of cellars or basements, and then you go on to the next house and the next house. And then there's snipers. Snipers can be placed any place. The Germans used snipers to great effect in World War II. You put them in a church steeple. You put them on high ground. You put them on a rooftop. They're very difficult to pinpoint. And this can take weeks. This can literally, to get a village could take you 3, 4, 5 days. A city like Baghdad could take weeks. And there will be casualties and there will be deaths. Now you say to me, well, that's the reason why we don't want to go to war. You don't understand. There's no, what, would you rather go to war if it was a really septic battle where we could just do it from the air? There are times you can't do that. You have to get in on the ground and you got to do it with troops. And unfortunately, that's what we're going to have to do in Baghdad. There will be casualties. We took 7,000 casualties in a single battle in the Hürtgen Forest in Germany. We took 3,000 dead when we hit Okinawa, when we hit Iwo Jima. And clearing out Baghdad, we could take a lot of casualties. We could take a lot of dead. It sucks, but that's the reality of how these things are done, how these battles are fought, and ultimately won. So, if you can get yourself ready for that, you need to. Because I know that after this war begins and casualties begin to mount. See, there is such a thing as a just war. Vietnam, when the body bags started coming back, people started asking, what are we doing exactly? Why are we there? Well, I just remind myself that the reason why we're there is really simple. 3,000 people were murdered. Terrorists did it. Hussein supports, funds, trains, equips terrorists. This is a war on terrorism. He's also a guy who's been in violation of UN sanctions for 12 years. All the reasons that nobody wants to hear. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? So that's why we're doing it. You take that guy out, and let me tell you what, the world is going to be safer by four. You take that guy out of there, and the world will be safer four times over. Just that guy alone. The money that guy has dropped into people's laps. Scumbags like Bin Laden. Whether you want to believe it or not, I personally don't care. So we're going to take some dead, and that's the way it is. I'm not saying it in a cavalier way. I wish it wouldn't happen. I guarantee you, if I was 21 years of age, I wouldn't be on the radio right now. I would have been in a uniform. I'd be over there right now. I would have joined up after 9/11. I can't. So my job is to exhort. Actually, it's just to maybe give a little historical perspective. Now, coming up, we'll be talking to Bill Maher. He is, as I said, got a brand new show on HBO, and we'll find out what his trip is. Okay? 1-800-449-8686. Our website is philhenryshow.com. Now, go into our souvenir shop. We've got the Bobby Dooley Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt. This is the very first product from Western Estates. It was designed by the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, Bobby Dooley herself. This is the same shirt worn by the club's elite members, the very first item approved by the Dooleys, two of the most disgusting suburbanites you'll ever meet in your life. Yes, Western Estates, where it all looks good on the surface, but scratch it deep enough, and there's Bobby in her capri pants and a turkey baster full of hot grease doing disgusting things with it. Quality 100% cotton peak shirt is navy blue and features a well-knit collar and cuffs and a two-button plaque. It's the only thing well done out of Western Estates, their shirts. The official Western Estates crest is ritually embroidered on the left chest, the same insignia you see emblazoned on the gates of the community. If you're lucky enough to live there. $29, baby. It comes in small, medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. And we got those double extra large for all you fat pigs out there. So do it now. Get on our website. Order up your Phil Henry merchandise, starting with the official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to our show. R.C. Collins was on our program Friday. He was talking about being a cadet in a military academy. And as you know, being a cadet in a military academy, he's just hardcore. And with the CIA and FBI catching Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, it lowers the morale of the fighting men because he wants to bring the Al-Qaeda out on have an Al-Qaeda head on a stake right there on the end of his bayonet. Let's listen to him.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Months over there in the sandbox, and this kid can't even get his derogatory terms right. He's calling them towel wrappers, which I've never heard. The proper term, if you're going to call them that, is raghead.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean is you don't even know enough to use the proper derogatory term for these individuals that the United States as a whole has deigned to go after. And once again, I'll reiterate, I don't care who finishes this job. Absolutely, absolutely. Every single one of us wants to get over there and kick some ass.
You're sounding suspiciously like someone who is slacking.
I'm sorry? Let me tell you what my job is, Trump. I teach the men and women of the United States Air Force how to handle and maintain their rifles. These are the same rifles that are going to save your ass. If that's slacking, come and get it.
Look, Miss Manners, I'm interested in killing Bin Laden, not proper vocabulary like you.
Will you have some respect for somebody that was over there, kid, and not getting to bed by 10 o'clock?
You can take kid and shove it up your ass.
I'm going to hang up on you if I hear that one more time. That's the third time I've heard you say that. And this is an individual that's training troops. She was over there. She saw it. She doesn't go to her grandparents out in Palm Desert.
That's where the Marines train, at 29 Palms.
You're not a Marine.
What?
You're not a Marine.
Yeah, but that's where they trained for Desert Storm.
So what?
Not the same as being there. You act like you've been there, done that. You know more than everybody, know more than anybody. You can do it all. You can put on a gas mask. How long do you have to put on a gas mask in a war zone before the shit gets you? Excuse me.
You have 2 minutes.
Oh, you're dead, son. You are so dead. You got 9 seconds to put that gas mask on.
9 seconds?
9 seconds. You better get ready, because I'll tell you what, Bin Laden's going to kick your ass.
Oh, wait a minute. That means the guy that carries it has to stay close to you.
No, you don't carry your own gas. You can't even carry your own gear, and you want to be a Marine?
Wait a minute. What about the guy that carries the gas mask and the bacteriological suit? Where's he?
You do.
Yeah, you are. You're carrying it. On top of your M60 machine.
23.6 pounds.
No, no,
that's
no.
That's only at 550 rounds per minute. How much ammo are you carrying with an M60? You're carrying 800 rounds of ammo at a minimum.
But I don't have to remember that. That's in a truck that comes behind me.
Oh, no. You're carrying it. Because if you don't have it on you and you get hit with a biological chemical weapon, you need to get that on. I'm sorry, again,
that's
in 9
right.
seconds.
But that gear is really heavy. There's no way you can carry it.
A lot of people do. Men do. Maybe not boys, but men.
And women.
I don't see no woman being able to do it.
Look, why don't you just... Yeah, all right, I'm sorry.
I'm starting to think this kid's a sham.
You make a hell of a mother, Mrs. Brady, I'll tell you that.
That's a good thing I don't have any kids. Especially none like you.
I want to fight for my country, and all you've done is put me down for it.
You know what? You're 17 years old. Have you graduated from high school yet?
No, ma'am. I'm 2 years from it.
2 years? And you're 17?
No, I just turned 17. I'm a junior right now. I graduate 2004.
I'm sorry. Did you say a cheerleader?
Very funny, Miss Manners.
No, I'm serious. I couldn't understand what you said. It sounded like you said I'm a cheerleader right now.
I ain't no cheerleader. I'm a junior.
Oh, a junior.
Why'd you flush out your headgear?
Well, maybe when you graduate from high school, you could enlist in one of the 4 fine branches of the United States military.
I saw 3...
See what it's really like.
I saw 3 Kings 11 times. I know what dessert is like.
Oh.
What do you mean, dessert?
The desert, I'm sorry.
Yo,
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, we'll be back. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
The organization is called Fathers for Fairness. The founding member is Vernon Dozier. We're going to find out what his organization is about here in just a second. Our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, to find out just exactly what the Phil Henry Show is all about. Mr. Dozier, how are you today, sir?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Mr. Dozier, tell us about Fathers for Fairness and how this organization started.
Yes, sir. This organization started actually last month, Phil. We are in the beginning building stages of Fathers for Fairness, but we do have we've got some printed material. This really started. It's a support group for fathers who've had a certain understanding with their wives that we feel wives have gone back on. And what do you do? Do you just stand there twisting in the breeze, or how do you do it? So.
But what is this involved? Does this involve the children?
It specifically involves the children. I can tell you in my case, my son Joshua was born, he'll be 10 on July 15th. I think I've done a pretty good job, like a lot of men, of dealing with having a child and, you know, putting up with what that brings. But it has to do with children in general, but in my case, yes, my son. I'm 43 years of age. We had Josh, as I mentioned, almost 10 years ago. My wife, Rebecca, is a former dancer. She worked in some great shows in Las Vegas, Phil, and one of them was the Follies Berger, which is the longest-running floor show, dance show in Las Vegas.
At the Tropicana?
Yes, sir, that is correct. And I met my wife in Las Vegas. And I can tell you, when you're married to a woman like that, it's...
She's beautiful, huh?
My wife is very beautiful, and it's like unwrapping a Christmas present every day. So we got married, and she made it clear that she wanted a child. And she didn't say this until after we got married, but I said, all right, I agreed to this. And she had the kid, and what has happened in increasing frequency is now that she's had Josh, say that we're not having the fun we used to have, and the very thing is happening that I started Fairness for Fathers over. I have to compete with him, with my son, for my wife's attention. You know, and what is that about? You know what I'm saying?
Well, so your wife is spending more time with your son?
No, I'm just saying, what is that about? It's a baby, and I got to compete with my wife.
Well, you're concerned as a father that your son takes too much time away from you and your wife.
Well, what I'm concerned with, and what Fairness for Fathers is all about, is that I'm married to a very beautiful woman. Okay. And
I understand that, sir.
And I want to have a ball with her. And here comes our son. And I give an example. He had a stomach ache. Okay. And he knocks on the door, you know, right when we're getting ready to be intimate.
I understand.
And he has a stomach ache. And now this is what I tell other husbands. Be watchful for this behavior. My wife says, let me get you some aspirin, and she gets out of bed. Now, I'm there, and, you know, I was just about ready to go. And it's frustrating. So fathers, for fairness, ask the question, why do I have to compete with a kid for a little, you know what? And when did kids all of a sudden tell me when and where I can be with my wife, who was in the Follies Brigere, as I mentioned, the longest-running show?
Yeah, in Las Vegas. I understand that. So your son had a stomach ache.
And this is something to watch, Phil. Because the kid, it's always the kid. Fathers for Fairness is the first organization to finally come out and say to wives and to women and to mothers, hi, I'm your husband. Remember me. And our organization, we hope, will grow to the point where men can finally start getting, and I don't want, it's not about sex, but that's the number one thing, I think, that a lot of us have been deprived of is, getting you-know-what while she's off whatever she's doing with the kid. And she chose to give attention to that kid instead of making love to me. And I think that that has got to stop. And I think that there are millions of American men that would agree. And that's what our organization's about.
All right, Vernon Dozier with us, Fathers for Fairness, an interesting organization formed around the premise that women spend too much time with the kids. And in the process, the husband is being sort of neglected. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I want to ask you, Mr. Dozier, this was your son. He had a stomach ache?
That was the claim, yes, sir.
And he's in pain, so what do you do?
Well, I can tell you this, Mr. When I was a boy, I never got these kinds of illnesses. And let me tell you what...
Well, he had a stomach ache, though, and his mother went and got him an aspirin.
No, but I never had this kind of a problem when I was a kid. Let me tell you something. This is psychological. And this is what we put in our literature. Fathers for Fairness will be putting out a pamphlet that gives all fathers a series of warning signs. Now, what this is what is called the Oedipus Complex.
I understand what the Oedipus Complex is.
Well, if I can explain it for your listeners, I'd appreciate it.
Go ahead.
The Oedipus Complex was a theory that was proffered by Sigmund Freud, one of the father of modern psychoanalysis. It is a phenomenon whereby the son wants to usurp the father.
Understood.
So the son desires sex with his own mother, and he wants to kill his own father. This is called the Oedipus Complex. Now, that's Sigmund Freud talking. That's not me. That's Sigmund Freud. That's one of the greatest minds of the last 200 years talking. So I didn't make that up.
No, I understand that. It is part. It is a fundamental part of Freud's a theorem on human beings.
Okay. So the son wants to kill the father to have sex with the mother. Now, I'm not going to be looking up from my workbench from a... It's not going to happen to me. And whether she's got a great body or not, it ain't going to happen to me.
All right, then the Oedipus Complex played out the way you say it is, in my opinion, though, is a little far-fetched.
Well, I mean, that's fine, but where do I come... You know, when I come home and the only thing is, you know... The other thing is taking her side. See what I'm saying?
All right, well, hold on for a minute. I want to get some phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Vernon Dozier of the organization Fathers for Fairness, an organization that believes women are spending too much time with the kids, and it makes the marriage more sexually frustrating for the husband. Jackie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just want to say that I think this gentleman is a jerk. When he made the choice to have a child, he made the choice to put his feelings and needs aside first. Children are your first priority. Children are the answer to saving the world, not...
Wait,
I can't have my sex.
Wait a minute, ma'am. I'm not saying the child doesn't have a right to exist, but all of a sudden...
You're saying that your needs are first and you're competing with your wife.
Well, how come he gets to have aspirin and everything, and I'm sitting there ready to go, and I got to go and take a cold shower? How does that work?
Because he needs his parents before anything else.
I mean,
he
needs
his mom and his dad first. Can you imagine if your son heard what you were saying right now? What
no,
he was thinking?
Don't wait a second. My son, first of all, he knows that I love him, but it's kind of a qualified love because I'm not going to love him if I don't get any. How can I love my son if I'm not getting any?
What?
What are you laughing at, man?
Do you understand what you sound like?
Yeah,
you sound like a pompous jerk.
Did you hear what you just said?
No, all I'm saying is, how can I keep a good, loving mood when I'm cut off?
Because that good, loving mood comes last. If you don't have love, if you don't have emotional bond, if you don't have a shared emotional love with your child, then you have nothing.
No, but we've got millions of American men who are getting frozen out by their old ladies because Junior, he needs this, he needs that, he needs something.
You know what, sir? My father is 66 years old. He has four daughters. He just recovered from prostate cancer, and I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I bet you I know
the
why.
The thing that keeps my parents together,
because he got cut off and it backed up. He got cut off and it backed up.
He didn't get cut off and it backed up. It was hereditary.
That's why he got prostate cancer.
Wait a minute.
No,
you're not a doctor. You can't say that.
I'm a nurse, sir. That's not why he got prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is hereditary. Men can play with themselves whenever they want.
My understanding is that if your old lady freezes you out, it'll back up and you can get prostate cancer.
You're not a doctor.
That
Listen
is incorrect.
To what the nurse is saying.
Well, I can tell you this, ma'am. The marriage contract, nobody said to me, have a kid and then cut your genitals off.
No, the marriage contract said for better or for worse, for sickness and health,
that is
in
true.
Richer and in poor, through good times and in bad. So guess what? You're having a bad time. Deal with it. Don't take it out on your child. That poor kid's going to be scarred for the rest of his life because of what you're saying.
I'm not taking it out on the child. I'm asking my wife
what
to
is
be
what
fair.
You're doing?
I'm asking
my
wife.
Oh, right, no. I'm sorry. You're taking it out on your wife and your child.
No, not my child. Do you know about the Oedipus complex?
The Oedipus complex?
Yes,
no,
ma'am.
I'm sorry.
The Oedipus complex is Sigmund Freud's basic theorem that a boy wants to have sex with his own mother and kill his own father. Now,
everything
that is...
Everything about Freud revolves around sex.
Okay,
so
but
it's
that's
funny
the
that you're using that
And
comparison.
So what you want to do is you want my son to put a fire axe into my forehead and then go have sex with his own mother.
That's not
Sir,
what your son
that's,
wants.
That's not
your son wants to feel love,
Freud,
as much from you as from your daughter, as from your wife.
Freud didn't mean that literally. Freud meant it on a very deep subconscious level, that boys have some sexual connection to their mothers, and they have a competition with their fathers. That's a
as
deep...
girls do with their fathers.
Well, that's called the electric
girls adore their fathers.
That,
but I don't want my father.
So you're
my father's my hero.
Yeah, but you know down deep down.
That's disgusting.
Deep down what?
That is disgusting. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
But you're smiling now, aren't you?
I'm laughing.
Look,
at
I don't want to have a talk about, you know, sex with your father.
My son, let me tell you.
Calm down. What do you want to say?
My son wants to kill me with a garden hose.
Maybe you're scared of your son.
And he wants to rape my wife.
No, he doesn't.
I can't get that out of my head.
Maybe you need to go to church.
All right.
That's a great solution. Go to church. See, all you people are the same. I love it. Hi, I just put a fire axe into my dad's forehead. Maybe you need to go to church.
No, maybe you do because
Hi.
Of the sick, disgusting thoughts you're having.
No, I'm not having sick.
Your son is a 10-year-old innocent boy.
Yes, why do
he
you
He doesn't
fear...
even know anything yet.
Hi, I just burned an orphanage to the ground with all the kids in it. Maybe you need to go to church. Ma'am?
No, if you burn an orphanage down with all the kids in it, you need to go to hell.
All right, listen, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier is with an organization called Fathers for Fairness. And this organization purports to believe that men all over America are having to compete with their sons for their wives' attention, and something's got to give, something's got to stop. And they propose a number of things that we're going to be getting into. But first of all, they think that it is Freudian, and that women are going to have to start giving a little bit more time to their husbands because they're, quote, freezing their husbands out, that they're cutting their husbands off, and that is one of the reasons why so many men at an advanced age get prostate cancer because, and I'm quoting now, it backs up, end quote. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.
Four
888-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Talking with Vernon Dozier, the founder of an organization called Fathers, Fathers for Fairness. And the organization is basically about your wife spending too much time with your son, right?
No, that's not the organization. So the organization is about wives not spending enough time with their husbands because of their children.
All right.
And we were driving home from San Diego this weekend, I can tell you this, and he's in the back seat. And she takes his side a lot. And we drove by a farm, and he's in the back seat, and he says, ooh, it smells, because there was fertilizer out there. And this is what I'm talking about. His mother doesn't say anything, so I thought about it, and I decided to use some psychology. So I looked in the rearview mirror, and I looked at him, and I said, would you smell too? So that's the kind of psychology that you got to use. All right? And
That's psychology. What about a father having a love for his son?
Well, there's millions of American men that know what I'm talking about, Mr. Hendry.
What about a father having love for his son?
When you're married to what I'm married to, when you got what I got, I mean, this is a brick house that I'm married to. Believe me, what comes first in your life is your wife, then your son. If you get a look at the body on my wife, you take a look at the body on my wife. Now maybe these guys out there, a lot of the guys out there are married to something that isn't that great looking. So, yeah, your son will come first. I can understand that.
So, in other words, if some guy's kid comes first to him, his wife is a cow.
I mean, what else?
Well, some guys are into their wives and their family equally. And it isn't always about sex.
Look, the kid sits in the kitchen watching his mother cook dinner, waiting for her to drop a spoon so he can look up her skirt. No.
Oh, I don't believe it. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sandy. Go ahead.
I am absolutely appalled at the fact that you are actually sitting there suggesting the fact that each child is the same. Each family, I don't know what life you were brought up in.
Ma'am,
I have
Freud tells us that.
I don't care what Freud said. Okay? The purpose, I have two beautiful boys and a husband that loves his kids as much as he loves me.
Well,
we are equal.
Does he really, and I don't mean to be offensive, he loves his children. Of
yes.
course, but does he spend a lot of time with his kids?
Of course he does.
Okay,
that is what being a father is.
All right, I don't want to make a comment.
Quality time.
I'm just saying that my wife is, she used to be a dancer in Las Vegas, okay?
But that's besides the point.
And
not everyone has been.
The first year of my son's life, he spent more time with my wife's breast than I did.
Okay.
And okay.
So as
now,
a
he's
motherly
a baby.
Figure,
he's being breastfed.
All right.
As a motherly figure, we have that
are you
connection.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Rooney?
About what?
I'd like to ask this lady a question. I don't want to offend her.
Go ahead.
What is the question?
Do you have big breasts?
I fail to see what that's.
I'm trying
exactly.
to establish.
I do,
I'm trying to establish if this lady, and forgive my language, ma'am, but there's two kinds of women, and I'm just trying to say if you're and forgive my language, piece of ass, or if you're... No, but I'm trying to establish, does your husband spend time with the kids because he likes being with them or because there's not a lot going on with you?
That's insulting.
I am not insulted because I am very confident in my marriage and my family. What I look like is very pleasing to my husband, and that is all that matters.
Have you frozen him out?
Absolutely not. And to be perfectly honest, the nurse was absolutely right. Prostate has nothing to do with quote-unquote freezing up. It
no.
is the way your body
I didn't
functions.
Say that. I didn't say that, man. I said her. She said that her mother cut her father off, so it backed,
no, she
so
didn't.
It backed up.
Okay, you have a problem with listening, and you have a problem with your own self. You are putting it off on your child, which is going, in the long run, going to hurt you more than anyone else.
Can I? I am the head of an organization trying to find fairness for men, okay?
Yes, and a very large group of men who are insecure.
How often do you... Well, I guess I'm going to be in trouble.
What's the question?
I want her to know how often she does it with her husband.
This is all irrelevant.
See, It's not about a marriage.
No, it's
that
not.
That is not about a family.
Yes, it is. Look, when you're married to the piece of ass...
Can we stop with the piece of ass thing? You're talking to a lady here. I don't want that on my program.
So I'm married to a piece of ass and I can't say it.
I can't hear you?
I said I'm married to a... Never mind.
Okay, so your wife is an inanimate object.
No, ma'am.
That's
she
all
is. No, oh, oh, hell no.
Well, that is how you were referring to her.
There's nothing inanimate about her.
Well, then, why don't you suggest, or why don't you start referring to her as an individual,
I want to say, I want men to reclaim their wives back and not constantly suck hind you-know-what, because some kid, and for women to stop duping the men in their lives, because I was under the understanding that we were going to have a ball, and all I want to do is have a ball, and now, only she does, she has the kid, and she runs the risk of getting stretched out, too.
Okay, now,
think about
you
that.
Now, do you give back
your wife in any other way than sex? If my wife has one more kid, her body will be completely destroyed.
Okay,
destroyed.
Do you give back?
I can have a vasectomy and she won't...
All right, listen, thanks for your call, ma'am.
If your kid walked in on you and your husband making love and said he was having trouble sleeping, would you cut your husband off? Yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do mothers spend too much time with the kids and not enough time with their husbands? Fathers for Fairness says yes. We're talking with their founder, Vernon Dozier. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Fathers for Fairness. Vernon Dozier is the chairman. You're a football coach?
I teach varsity football.
And also a math teacher?
Yes, sir.
What are the points that you have communicated in this pamphlet to prospective members of your organization on how to get your wife back, how to keep her from having children, and how to make your marriage be about you and her and not about the kid? And I can't, as I say these words, I got to tell you, Mr. Dozier, I don't agree with any of this.
Okay, hold on for a minute. You don't agree with what?
I don't agree with a man who gets selfish and wants his wife all to himself. You have a son to think about.
Okay, I got a son to think about. Does that mean every time he turns around, I have a stomach ache, I have a, this ache, I got a that ache, she's got to run off? I am married to a woman that used to dance in Las Vegas. How do I get that through to you? That means I'd like to see, spend a little time with her when her clothes aren't on. And I suppose that's wrong of me.
That's not wrong of you. It's just that the kid...
My wife has said she wants to have another kid, and I can have a vasectomy. And what we say in this...
You're tensed up, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look... I tell guys they can have a vasectomy, and I'll tell you something else. This never fails. As much as women say they love children, this never fails. Tell your wife that in your family, that something wrong genetically runs in your family. I told my wife that we have retards that run in our family genetically.
You have what, sir?
We've got, mentally retards. Mental retards, mentally retarded.
So that means she doesn't want to have a kid?
That's what she wants to have, a retard for a kid. Or you can tell her that you've got Crohn's disease that runs the one that makes you look old. It'll freak them out. Then tell me how much they love kids. Yeah. Most men in America are so clueless that their wives have chosen their children over them. I'm a better man than that. And I won't succumb to this crap.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Bill. Go ahead, Bill. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Yeah, I'd like to tell Mr. Dozier something. Number one, sir, a family, when you decide to have children, it's a bonding relationship between everybody. You don't put your sexual preference before your child in any case. I've got children from my first marriage. I've got stepchildren from my second marriage. I wouldn't put my stepchildren nor my real children for any part of anything to do with sex.
You must not be married.
That is so off the wall and so lame that you'd even say.
Lame? Sex is all of a sudden lame? Brother, what happened to you?
I get a chance to have sex. I drive a truck now. I'm home some. I'm gone some. I used to work in a factory. We still have a week or two go by. You may not have a sex life.
What's your wife look like?
Child's needed.
What's your wife look like?
Wife's up all day caring for the child and up at night sleeping.
What's your wife look like?
My God, man, you need to get a grip on yourself.
See, he's
a sex is that important to you.
Did your old lady bark?
You know, and to sit there and say,
you
had such a beautiful wife.
She's a piece of ass.
And you would, I've got a very beautiful wife. And believe me, I love it when that time comes. But I wouldn't, you know, and to sit there and put her before my child, that's, you know, that's beyond me and the man to even get on the radio.
I just like to add a little.
And a dog
maybe once a year.
Let me ask you a question. Was you sexually abused or had something done to you as a child?
Well,
and
let me
tell you. Don't surprise me a bit to say that you got retardation runs in your family. It's pretty clear on the radio.
I was kidding about that.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Well, do you have retardation running in your family?
Because no, I've got a loving family that when you got kids, can put sex out of their mind and realize that you got a family built in love.
I want to say something, Bill.
Hold on, Bill.
Not what pain you got in your loins.
Hold on, Bill. Hold on, Bill.
Okay. You say I got retards in my family?
You said it. I didn't.
Well, you just said it wouldn't be surprise you.
Well, to have somebody talk like you.
And the other thing is, what do you got, a litter of kids? How many kids you got? You got 9 with one woman, 6 with another? I mean,
I've got two of my own, and I got 2 stepchildren.
Okay.
And I wouldn't trade any of them to have sex with my wife. And I wouldn't throw them out on the street or act like you are and have sex with this beautiful wife.
I just told my wife that I had retard syndrome genes. But I really don't. I just told her that. See?
It's pretty vulgar to lie to keep from having children. And it's pretty vulgar to say what you're saying about your own child. I got such a beautiful wife. I'll put her before my child. And the rest of you that can't say the same,
absolutely.
Your wife must be cows. That's obscene.
Well, come on, man. My old lady used to dance in Vegas.
What? Cow Palace, probably.
With what?
Right, a Cow Palace.
No, pal. She danced at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, all right? So, if your old lady barks, that's your problem. But
there's no need to go down that road. There's no need for you guys to insult each other's women. You know, even though you really didn't insult his wife, Bill, so I apologize for that.
Look, my wife's got a rack on her. And my kid, you figure it out, man.
Pitt, look at is that your
I'm
son?
Trying to figure out people like you. That's the reason this world is so sick.
If you saw my old lady, you'd have said anything to get under that skirt. You'd have lied, cheated, and stolen.
No, I wouldn't, because I'm very happy with my wife, and I wouldn't have looked underneath your old lady's skirt and give up my marriage for what you have.
Dude, you take a look at my old lady, and you would slit throats.
God, get a grip, will you, pal? We're talking about a boy here, your son. You haven't said anything about your son. What is he like? What is your son like?
Who?
Your son. What is he like? Does he like baseball? Does he like football? Do you know anything about him?
Who, my son?
Yes, your son. What do you know about him?
Look, he goes to school, and I don't see him a lot. So.
Okay, so.
Look, I want to just say that if you saw my old lady, you'd put a diaper on just so you could breastfeed. Now, that's the truth.
Oh, my God. You're sick.
That's sick. Wait a second. You're telling me that's sick?
No. To be talking like that and putting that over your child, that's sick.
You could sharpen a buck knife on my old lady's pair.
Look, can we talk about your son instead of your old lady?
Whatever.
Yeah. Fathers for fairness. And you told your wife you had retard syndrome. Sir, it's called mental, I don't even know what it's called now. You've had me thinking this retard thing for so long. It's a mental retardation.
You'd coo and cry just to snuggle up to those milk bags.
You even care about your son?
Who?
Your son.
You care about your son?
Of course I do.
You care more about having sex than what your wife worries. You're not even.
Hey, Bill. You get a look at my old lady. You go.
This cat's flipped out, man.
You're not with the ball game.
Hey, if you do that, my wife she'll go ahead and go for it.
She would?
Yeah.
I wouldn't brag that I had a wife like that.
Okay, what
if I go goo goo, she'd go for it. God, that I wouldn't want a wife like that. I wouldn't brag about that on the radio.
You're kidding me. Do you like Dolly Parton? Now you must like Dolly Parton.
I like Dolly Parton as a singer.
Yeah. See the pair she's got? My old lady's got her beat. Now,
I don't judge somebody by that. You know, and it don't matter what's on the outside, sir.
My son.
You know, love, you know, if you love what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside of a human being.
Do you, you know your son's name?
Of course I do.
What's your son's name? What's your son's name?
Don't, Mr. Henry, don't drill me like I'm some kind of a...
What is your son's name?
My son's name is Vernon Jr.
No, it isn't. It's Joshua.
Well, I don't think... I think you're lying.
Yeah, that's right. I'm lying. Thanks very much, sir. Was your wife just walk in the room?
Here she comes right now. Watch this. Excuse me, Phil. I got to put this depend on. And
Yeah. That's about the sickest, most twisted bastard the world has ever known. So I'd like to thank Mike Reagan for calling in. 1-800-449... I'm kidding. Mike's in Tahiti, so he don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
I just want to see if this is still working. Yep, it is. All right, I want to bring on Bill Maher. We haven't talked to him in a while. As you know, Bill has a show on HBO, and he had one on ABC, I think, called Politically Incorrect. Yeah, and he is on with us tonight to talk about politics, to talk about the upcoming, the possible upcoming war with Iraq. And he and I have a few differences of opinion, so I want to bring him on, but there's no doubt that he's a bright guy. Bill Maher, welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill, I heard you say this on your show the other day on HBO, that if you go after Iraq but you don't go after North Korea, you're a hypocrite. Did you get dumber when you went to HBO?
I probably did, Phil, just from the standpoint I think I'm getting a little more panicky. I'm trying to backpedal and cover my position on Iraq.
Do you really honestly believe we shouldn't be at war with Iraq?
No, I don't.
Well, then you don't. Why?
Why do I not?
I mean, why do you say what you say?
Well, I say what I said, my anti-Bush stance.
Yeah.
Because I'm angry and embarrassed over the stupid things I said after 9/11. I mean, I really said some stupid stuff after 9/11 that basically got, you know, my audience against me. And so I felt, rather than sort of straighten it out a little bit, I felt like I had to, you know, just make it worse, you know, keep digging the hole deeper. And now I say dumb things on a regular basis. But I'm so stupid, I'm not sure why my comment, go after North Korea and Iraq. Why do you think that's dumb?
Well, number one, we're going after Iraq because it is the most obvious nation to go after, first of all. It is in violation of U.N. sanction. It is known supporter of terrorism in keeping with the war on terrorism, which we started because we have become victims of that terrorism. So it's a very obvious target. And I can't understand why an intelligent guy like you would say, if you go after Iraq, you don't go after North Korea. It's hypocritical. So you really don't believe that?
I don't even know what it is you just said. I do. No, I don't. I don't know what I believe, but I know what I say. And I think that's really the point of you making fun of celebrities, isn't it? That what we say and what we believe are two different things.
That's right.
Well, I'm right. I'm up your alley then, Phil. I don't know what I believe. But what I say is that North Korea should be attacked. But I don't know why I really say that.
You see, because the stupidity of that comment is, it's like a child on a playground saying, well, he got it and he got it, why can't I? You know, certain things take precedence over others, and certain situations need attention and others don't. And it seemed to me like you were reverting to the thinking of a three-year-old.
Well, I guess that's true.
I mean, I don't think you're a three-year-old, Bill.
Well, thank you.
But that's the way you come across.
See, I've got to be political, Phil. I can't say things that are necessarily against the Hollywood establishment.
Why?
I don't know whether you know this or not, but I go out with very tall black women. I am very short, and I have red hair. So imagine a short, red-headed guy with a big nose walking next to these tall, beautiful black women. There's no chance in hell. There's not even a snowball's chance in a furnace. There isn't the remotest opportunity that I would even sniff something like that if I wasn't on television. And the only way to get on television is to have these opinions about, you know, whatever it is that I said. So
it's all about going out with tall black women.
Oh, we'll get a load of you, like you're all shocked. Like,
no, but I'm very happy that you're admitting it. We're talking with Bill Maher, ladies and gentlemen, the host of his... What's the name of your show on HBO?
I don't know.
My producer just said it's called Real Time.
It's called Real Time.
By the way, you're looking more like B. Arthur every day, man. Did getting canned out of ABC, did that really mess you up?
It was frustrating. It was frustrating. I got to know my right hand. Hoo-hoo! Yeah, because...
So no tall black chicks would go out with you when you weren't on TV.
Exactly. So I just I'm just thankful that I got the gig, and I'm getting invited to Clive Davis's parties again, and, you know, things are happening.
By the way, I saw you at that Arista party.
Uh-huh.
And you were standing next to that big, tall black chick.
Right.
You look stupid. I mean, I just want you to know.
Thank you.
Well, no, look, I didn't mean to say it, but you look really stupid, really idiotic standing next to those women.
Well, I guess I do, but...
I mean, do you sleep with them?
I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. That's why you can't answer that. All right. Listen, Bill, thank you so much for being on the program so we can have a little bit of fun with you.
A little bit of fun. Yeah, that's right. That's what they did to Jeffrey Dahmer. They just had a little bit of fun with him. They beat him to death with a broom handle. But, yeah, you're just having a little bit of fun.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting us have just a little bit of fun with you.
Right. Jail rape. Little bit of fun.
And, the continued success, or whatever you want to call it, on that show you got on HBO called what?
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Real Time?
It's called Real Time, yeah.
All right. Congratulations, Bill, on being on working again. Try not to say stupid, uninformed, and very unsophisticated things. We're not on the playground, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, Phil.
Bill Maher, a real idiot. Now, a very talented guy and very smart, but you see, when you're falling all over yourself trying to find justification for your opinions about the possible military action against Iraq, and you happen to be against it, when you're stretching and reaching and just... I mean, that's what people do when they're arguing against militarily intervening in Iraq. They got to just stretch for the moon. They got to reach and stretch and try to find every justification under the sun. And Bill, there's nobody better at it than Bill. And by the way, I know you very well, don't I, Bill?
Yes, sir. You've been to my home many times.
All right. See, I can say anything. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. By the way, I've got two very good friends, and I might as well just close the show out with this. My wife and I have two very good friends. One's Canadian, one is British. Both have lived in the United States for at least 15 years. Neither one is a citizen, and both are very vocal and have no problem under my own roof saying things about America that they don't like. So I've decided I'm going to throw them out of my home the next time I hear it. I'm just going to pitch them out on their ass. And I love them. One's a Canadian from Montreal. She's been living here since, I don't know, 1985. The other's British. She's been here for 20 years. And they're like, you know, here's what's wrong with America. And here's, oh, yeah, well, why do you say that? Hey, and I pay taxes, so I can say that. And, of course, I give them the standard argument, which is this is not a free enterprise zone where you can come. This is not Disneyland. See, everybody in the world thinks that America is the world's version of Disneyland. You come here, you take the wrapper off your ice cream cone, and you throw it onto the ground, right? And you just take a crap wherever you want, and then when you're ready to go home, you go home. That's not it. This is a real place. So I've decided anybody comes into my house again and talks crap, and they don't have their American passport, I'm throwing them out. I'm just getting more and more and more. What would you say, Bill?
Like a Nazi?
Yes, exactly.
1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Hendry.
And I'm Bill Maher.
And we'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.